And then you turn around and you hear young soldiers being weary. You're going to get, if you are in the way, you're going to find out about the way, and you're going to have difficulties from time to time. Just try to keep your eye single and focused. If you'll turn back with me to the Song of Solomon, chapter number 5. And we'll look at the last part of verse number 12. I thought that I might not deal with this, just go on. But there's much here concerning doves by rivers of waters. If you ever have a few extra minutes, you don't know what to look up, just look up rivers and see how many times it's mentioned and how God uses them. If you're there, would you bow with me as we seek our Lord's face? Blessed Lord, it's good to sit with a group of people, and I think for the most part desire heavenly things, desire food when we gather, and if they ever lose that, they'll lose the voice of God to their hearts. So I pray you'll keep them no matter what comes. Keep them marching towards Zion. And that never will be in the physical realm, but it's always in the spiritual. I pray that you might open thy word and our hearts, and that you might give us an understanding and, if it's pleasing, Lord, that some might mount with wings of eagles as they view their blessed Redeemer, the one the bride called her beloved. Can I say that? Are things growing strangely dim in the light of thy glory and grace? Is he my thoughts from time to time throughout the day? And as sleep overtakes us, our thoughts might be on him. I know that at times things around will be so difficult and issues so pressing that that's all that they can see. But keep them. In the dark, cloudy days, as they journey through a wilderness with little rain, keep them, Father, with their face towards thee, and all will be well. Grant wisdom, liberty, unction, and grant that thy spirit might help both the speaker and the hearer to thy glory. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. His eyes are as the eyes of doves. And I'm sure that you can think of some things that I did not bring up last week. You think of doves. But now, she makes these remarks. He's like doves by the rivers of water. He's washed, his eyes are washed with milk, and his eyes are fitly set. Now, I've told you from time to time that I have a great longing in my soul, as she did here, that when I find him, I hold him, and I will not let him go till I bring him here to his mother's house. And thinking about that this week, to those of you that will receive it, in a small way, the Spirit of Christ is setting him forth in her description to the daughters of Jerusalem. And she, with the skill of a great artist, has taken a brush and painted so vividly his portrait, described him with such minute details that when she's through, the daughters of Jerusalem said, "Where is thy beloved gone, that we may seek him with you?" So her description had caught their heart. And as you read into chapter 6, she'll tell you where he is. She knows. And now she's got to get there because of her negligence one time. And it is the same with you, with me. In school, you had certain subjects that you just liked. You had an interest. And when you sat down at your desk, your mind was more focused and a greater effort for you to learn. And the opposite, if you didn't care about the subject, you was careless in hearing the subject presented. All you wanted out of it was just enough to make a passing grade. That's not good enough when we talk about our Lord. She said he's like doves, or a dove by the rivers of water. Now, doves around here don't have to fly too far because there's just plenty of water around this area. But those that their habitat is in the desert, they have to travel, fly a long distance to get water. And those that study birds say that they have that ability to fly long distances and relatively quickly, 55 miles an hour. For the doves that we have around here, and they are some in the desert. Now she sees him, having found a place that there's no more travel. He's where He is and where He will always be. And then we come to Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God. He's there. Doesn't travel anymore as He did on earth. John 4, when He gets there to the well, is described as being weary with the journey. So He sat down. But it wasn't long. He got very little rest. Little off times throughout the whole night. No rest at all as He spent that time in talking with His Father. Because there is now a separation that had never been when He became a man. But He didn't rest long at the well. He got up and began another journey because He had many lost sheep. Well, He had lost sheep, let me put it that way. Like that one in Samaria. So He traveled to find her. And His rest as a man was not long at a time. So He had to go seeking other lost sheep. In the garden He came to the disciples the third time and He said, sleep on now. Take your rest. Now you'll have to figure this one out, and it's got spiritual application. He says, sleep on now. Take your rest. And immediately following that, rise up, let us be going. So He left them in the condition they were, as He did the bride, sleepy. Couldn't keep their eyes open, couldn't watch with Him and wait. So He just left them as they were, sluggish, spiritually asleep. But He said, now you get up physically and let us take our journey. John 14, that the world may know that I love the Father. Arise and let us go hence. Where are you going, Lord? To Calvary. Through the judgment hall. Through the beatings, the shame, cruel treatment. And at last, my Father turning His face from me. But His face was set like a flint towards Jerusalem. And He carried the disciples as far as they could go. And after His struggles there in the garden, the whip, the cat of nine tails, spitting, slapping, hitting Him in the face, led to the judgment hall, then to Calvary. And after that, His visits with the disciples for the next 40 days before He ascends back to glory, taking His seat at the right hand of His Father, He occasionally appeared to the disciples. So He is weaning them from visible sight and teaching them that from now on you will walk by faith. And the only sight that you will ever have of Me is that which the Holy Spirit paints in your mind and in your heart. So He spasmodically would appear, and then He would disappear and come again. And finally, after 40 days, he ascended from that mount to the right hand of his Father. Love had finished its works. I should say love had finished his works on earth. Now on the throne, he as the mediator watches over, keeps, sends the Spirit of God, teach, direct. If you need discipline, then he'll do that. So she here in chapter 5, she sees him in his exalted realm, for she is not describing him by any physical features as the lowly Jesus, but she's describing him as the Son of Man, head of his church, and the beloved of his bride, and she sees him seated by the rivers of water. He'll never have to travel anymore. Zephaniah 3, the Lord thy God is in the midst of thee, and he who is in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save, he will rejoice over thee with joy, and he will rest in his love. Jesus Christ accomplished his mission. The bride will be with him, all of them. And he finished that he had to do while he was on earth. Now turn with me to Isaiah. Keep your place here. Isaiah chapter 32, just over a little bit in the next book. Isaiah 32. And verse number 2. And a man shall be as a hiding place. Now that could be a king, a good king, that looks after all those under his authority. But we'll go one beyond any man on earth. And we'll see the man Christ Jesus. That man shall be as a hiding place from the wind. Many winds of adversity you will face in your personal life. Winds of adversity and conflict in our nation and around the land. They are intent on keeping this nation divided. Every way they turn, everything they say, all the actions that they do, it's bent on division. Dividing the races, those on the right and those on the left. Well, I better stop there. This is a place of worship. He shall be as a hiding place from the wind. He shall be a covert from the tempest. Now that all of us were headed in the wrong direction, following our own old nature everywhere it wanted to go and anything it wanted to do. We were running into the tempest of God's displeasure, about to overtake us, but there appeared a man between God's judging me as a sinner and condemning me to eternal hell. There stood a man in between, and he took on the wrath and he took on the punishment of God, that which I rightly deserved. God laid it on him, stripes that belong on my back. It was put on this man's back, a covert from the tempest. This man's a hiding place from all winds that blow. Some might be beneficial, but you'll face a lot that are blowing strong against the direction in which you are headed, or opposite. Now listen, as rivers of water in a dry place, desert, as the shadow of a gray rock in a weary land. That's where you live. And we all previously looked for refreshments in this old world. You'd try this and it did not satisfy. You'd go another direction and try that and it did not satisfy. You found out, hopefully you found out, everything down here is temporal and it is fastly fleeting away from you. You can be a teenager, and if God tarries, you'll be an old man or woman before long. You won't believe how quickly time gets away. But this man shall be as rivers in this dry place in which we live. He'll be as a great rock in this dry land that provides shadow for us. As rivers on earth, all of them have a temporal head. But on earth, as that river moves downstream, headed to empty itself in the ocean or the gulf, it picks up other streams. You can walk across the Mississippi in Wisconsin. It'd be a long swim to swim across it. Down in Louisiana, it picked up other streams, had its beginning from a lake up there, but it picked up a lot of streams running. But the river here begins in God. The river here is God. And it's so vast and so wide and so deep, it drowned a person. But in Psalm 46, he talks about a river. There is a river, the streams thereof make glad the city of God. So the river here, it's backwards to that on earth. On earth it has a little spring, a little fountainhead, but the river that makes glad the city of God is divided into different streams so that it would not destroy us. It drown us. If in the very beginning, all God, all of God, the being of God, was presented to you. Saul of Tarsus fell to the earth blind. And I'm sure that the vision, though strong enough to put out his eyesight, I'm sure had Christ revealed all that there is, it would have destroyed him there. So God divides it. Remember in the garden, God divided it into four rivers, that one river. And that river that makes glad the city of God, God's divided it into small streams, a small stream of repentance and faith. And as you head toward the fountainhead of this river, other streams you see flowing into where you began. The sovereignty of God, the omniscience of God, the omnipotence of God, all-seeing, all-knowing, all-powerful. And then you run across passages and you see this from the head here. You're in the way because God chose you, elected you, brought you to Christ. Then you come to find out about the reign of Christ, not somewhere in the future. It is taking place now. I'm not looking for the Lord Jesus to come back and set up a physical kingdom here like is preached in a lot of places. It's a spiritual kingdom, and Christ is head of it. And if you've been born into His family, you are a part of that. And so the river gets wider and wider. And the nearer to eternity one travels, all these streams begin coming together. And you've got this one large river. Like in Ezekiel, the man took a measuring rod and measured 1,000 cubits, and the water was up to my ankles. And he measured 1,000 cubits, and it was up to my loins, and my knees, and he measured 1,000. It was up to my loins, and it became a river that we could not swim in. That's the being of God. All you know about God, it's been divided down into little portions that you could eat and you could digest. But just keep on studying and learning Him. And the more you go, the bigger God gets, and the wider the river becomes. In the beginning, with that little stream of you must repent and you must believe, you were brought into the family of God, and then you begin to see other streams pouring in as you study your scripture. And those that have a heart for God, I believe when He returns to get them, they'll be in waters over their head. I hope you're not waiting around in a little stream, but you keep on pressing towards the very beginning of that river in Ezekiel. Now if you'll turn back with me to the song. The next thing I want you to look at is like doves by the rivers of water, washed with milk. That's white. That's purity. He who was without sin. He who was spotless. I doubt seriously that the eyes of our Lord were white as He journeyed towards the garden. In the garden, sleepless that night and the next day, His eyes not white because they had become a fountain of tears, weeping over Jerusalem that rejected Him. The agony, the torture of the judgment against Him. His Father turning His face from Him. It did not look, if you could have seen His eyes that night, it did not look as if they were white or as washed in milk. No, you lose a night's sleep and your eyes become bloodshot and you weep long enough and you'll see redness in your eyes and in your face. But here, He's beyond all that. Beyond Jerusalem that would not come. How oft would I have gathered you, but you would not. Weeping, weeping as He made that statement. But she here is looking at one that has ascended far above. Now His eyes, not red from weeping, not red from torture, not red from a sleepless night. No. His eyes look as if they've been washed in milk. And it was her delight. Now you know around your lens and around your pupil, there's this, that's just a little island. But around that, there's whiteness. That little island in the ocean of whiteness in your eyes, if you were having a good day. And that white's put there to magnify your eye. And she sees. And she's looking at her beloved, risen far above everything He had to go through here. And she sees in those white eyes, looking at the lens, looking at the pupil, she sees a gleam. She sees love. She sees eternal love. She sees that I am secure in Him. He chose me because He loved. And now I've been purchased with a price unbelievable that you and I will never know about. But you can look at His eyes now on the throne. They're not red. Blessed be God Almighty and our Lord Jesus. They're white. But one other thing she said about His eyes, they were fitly set. That is, to dwell. Now, when you came in, you sat down, but it's temporal. You get up in a few minutes, and you will journey on your way. But when He sat down, it's permanent. And she sees, well, it's fitly set means to dwell or remain. And she finds out now Him on the throne, His eyes have been fixed from all eternity on her. As God told Israel, I didn't choose you because you were more in number, but I chose you because I loved you. I brought you out of Egypt. I will bring you into Canaan land, all that believe. Folks, don't think that Canaan that God talked about bringing them into is eternity. No, it's not. Because they still had wars there. There will be no war. They still had tears here. There will be no tears there when God wipes them away. You're looking into the face of that beloved. You know Jesus Christ. His eyes have been set on a particular people from beyond the beginning of time. The mind of God, the heart of God, the will of God. It's all brought forth the decrees of God, which were not something that came up in time. Everything about God's eternal. All His works are eternal. Jesus, looking at eyes, fitly said, God's going to remain where He is. God's going to be who He is. Go tell them a great I am sent you. But that may not suffice. That's the best I can give you for my name. I am that I am. Won't ever change. Sometimes when the devil has beaten you down and the journey's been long and wearisome, and it's though you're walking in a desert without a drink of water, just remember God's designed all things for your good, and His eyes are fitly set. So the mind and the will and the heart and the decrees that God ordained in eternity, they are as eternal as God is. His eyes are fixed upon you now, and He'll never turn aside from you. The Lord Jesus said, I lay down my life for the sheep. For the sheep. I pray for them. I pray not for the world. Fitly set on you if you have been redeemed by His blood. Now, throughout the Old Testament, the law of God to a man that owned servants, the law of God was like this. If you come in and your master gives you a wife, and the year of Jubilee, when I'm to set you free, comes, you will be free, but your wife will remain here. She's not your property. She's mine. But if that servant shall come to his master and say, I love my wife and I love my children, I will remain here. Then the master took and bored his ear, pierced it through like you ladies, your ears with earrings. Sacrifice and offerings thou desirest not, but mine ear hast thou opened, pierced it through. So Jesus looked upon a wife, looked upon the children of Zion, and He said, I love them, and I'll serve you forever for them. When Jesus knew that His hour was come, that He should depart out of the world, having loved His own which were in the world, He loved them unto the end. Now after all, Hebrews 4, there remaineth the rest to the people of God. God let you sit down. God let you gaze into His eyes and you'll see Him fitly set. You gaze into His eyes and you look, the work has been completed. No more pain to my Lord, no more torture. God required of Him a complete payment for all that'll be in eternity. And you see that now, that the debt's been paid in full. And His eyes, oh, they're white and they're fitly set. And now you can rest in the Lord Jesus. Folk, children, let me say, the devil might rightly hurl many accusations against you. He'll throw your past up to you time and again. He might bring charges against you that are right. But our Lord said, you just agree with your adversary in the way. Go on walking with God. And though the wind of adversity blows strongly against you, you just keep your eye focused. You'll see Jesus when the wind stops blowing and the dust that's been getting in your eyes stops. You'll see Jesus there. There's that rock in a weary land, and there's that river for you to refresh yourself. Just agree and go on. Don't keep looking back. I wouldn't go back for this world times 10,000 of them. But I'd like to do some things differently. But I can't dwell on that. I gotta keep focused, or I wind up so far away from God. I lose His voice. I see His smile. I lose the whiteness and the fitly set eyes of my Lord. But if I keep my eyes single, just striving to look into His face. Now you won't have this every day. Don't expect it. Don't be discouraged down and out when you don't. Just keep your compass pointed towards the north. And there is the city of God. And from that flows the river of God, which satisfies the children of God. Oh, if we can see our Lord in these things. May God grant it. And you see and get a glimpse of Him that you've not had in a long time.